I'd like to call to order the June 12, 2018 special meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. So tonight we've got one item of work to go through, and then we're going to do, and then we're going to have a work session to talk about our goals, etc. So right now, I would accept a motion to approve the resolution to repair or replace primary parking lots and asphalt services throughout the district.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Mr. Johnson.
So we received the bids. I think it was last week, and we wanted to get this started as soon as possible so we could make sure it was hopefully done in time for the start of school. This is part of the fiscal year 19 permanent improvement forecast, the asphalt allocation there. This is actually, the bids came in under what the budget was, so that's good news. And then that remaining funds we'll be able to use to, I think the plan is to work on some sidewalks and like playgrounds where maybe some patching is needed and things like that.
Nice. That's good. I will point out that like I went in to look at our 20-year permanent improvement forecast, so I just think it's nice to remind anybody who happens to be listening, you know, the nice work that Todd did in developing, bringing in a company to develop this 20-year forecast so that we really have a plan in place and kind of helps us both short-term and long-term with making sure we don't run out of money and that we keep our buildings and other things in good shape. So.
And some of the asphalt surfaces are in really bad set.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you happen to know the one place that I've seen, and I don't know whether it's to be addressed this time or not, and I think a part of it may be city responsibility, but is the what I call the back drive by the Meadows Apartments.
Oh, to the high school.
There's a narrow asphalt strip that constitutes...
Oh, like the sidewalk, kind of?
A sidewalk, and the kids use that live in the Meadows Apartments or walk in that direction for, you know, for whatever reason. I know there's other routes they could take, but I know that walk just kind of ends, and there's sidewalks on the apartment property, I believe.
Wouldn't that be
only
the city
to a
that far? Yeah. I would think it is.
I think I talked to Terry one time because a parent had reached out to me about that short strip there in between the apartments and where that blacktop starts. And I think the city did some work there, but there's
It's private property.
Yeah, it's like where it's owned by the property, by the apartments and stuff, I think.
Yeah,
so.
And it's probably an awkward situation, but that's...
Yeah, it's not the best setup.
It's not, and that asphalt that we've laid in there is not under the best, it's not in the best condition either, so... And I don't know if that's on the list or not, but...
I don't believe it was on that list that we're reading tonight.
All right, and I understand that. It's not as much of a priority as it is as other things may be. So.
Any other questions? Okay. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Okay, and so now we move on to our work session. I did ask we just have a quick update on a couple things. I don't know, Diane, if you'd like to, you know, I printed off our results if you want to. I mean, and you're going to be doing that next week at our board meeting for sure. So nothing real
so,
detailed, but if anybody had questions.
Remember that these are preliminary, so they will shift as we work through the Where Kids Count report. And that report has to do with continuous enrollment. So if students are in and out, they don't necessarily count in our data. They might count in another school district's data, or internally they might along to Mill Valley instead of Creekview, so, or Mill Valley instead of Northwood or something like that. So all that's being sorted out. So good news is across the district, as you can see by the trend data, that we're on the upward move. Bad news really is, you know, we fell short in some areas of meeting the 80% mark, but we knew that we had some lofty strides to make to close that gap to get to 80. I would say points of particular pride, Mill Valley has met, will meet all of their indicators, and they were a building that was struggled last year, so super pleased with what Amy instituted there. Northwood met all of theirs, and Raymond will meet all but one, and I think they're at like 79.6% short of being at the 80. So super pleased with the way we're headed. We recognize the fact that we had a conversation about Northwood, that even though they met the 80% indicator, there were still 20% of the kids that hadn't, so they're not comfortable with where they are yet, and looking for ways to get better. We've done a lot of studying of the third grade test in particular, and writing is an area that we need to focus on. So we have some strategies in place moving into next year to really focus in on the writing score. It's never been delineated before, so now it's delineated. We can see where kids perform and what they need to get on writing in order to make that mark. So focused on that area, and actually writing and constructing a written message on technology will be the focus. So super pleased that, you know, with the growth and that wanted to be able to show you that over time piece, because I think that's important. Geometry continues to be an area of significant concern. The early college did increase their score after a drop last year, but the high school had a significant drop in geometry this year. Continuing to look at that and understand when that item analysis comes out, we'll be able to take a deeper dive into the types of questions kids are missing and try to set up some systems in which we can help assist in that area.
That's just kind of interesting because, I mean, statewide, look at the ODE on geometry. I mean, that is the lowest one in all those areas, you know, so.
And as a state, it dropped 3%, but as a building, I think the high school dropped, well, it's double digits. We do know, I mean, just things to remember, the difference between the old report card and this report card is it used to be when you took the OGT, you got a report back on first-time test takers, right? So 10th graders took it for the first time, you got that report, then we got a delineated junior, senior. Well, now that score is inclusive of all test takers. So when we work that out, for example, at the high school, Algebra 1 first-time test takers had a passage of about 76%. So as a school, I think Algebra sat about around 65 off the top of my head. I'd like 47, I guess. Let me get to the right one before I say the wrong thing. 53. That 53 is inclusive of all the kids who are taking it multiple times. So the other thing you'd want to remember is the score now is a 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 to pass, right? While the highest score counts for the kid, the last score counts for the school. So kids who may have taken it in the fall and got a 2, and maybe they took it in the spring and got a 1, the 1 is the score that's going to count for the building, which impacts our PI score. So those are, I mean, those are little nuances and probably a little into the weeds, but it helps you make sense of, you know, why you don't see a junior-senior report anymore. Currently, there is no legislation that encompasses pathways to graduation like last year. So right now, the status would be you have to pass the test to graduate, that there are no other ways to get there. Mm-hmm. We'll keep our eye on that. There is some pending stuff out there. So we'll see how that transpires. But right now, we would have kids that have to pass mm-hmm. to graduate.
Okay.
That would be that.
Okay.
You also asked me to talk about the stadium project.
Yeah, stadium project. Maybe quick update on the levy, too, in case there's anything that you feel like we as a board can be doing to help.
Yeah, I think the big thing is we're in the fundraising mode for the mm-hmm. for the levy. So mm-hmm. if you are connected to business affiliations or citizens, mm-hmm. can make a donation to the fund. I know Sue has that information if yep. you need
and
it.
And I did. I texted
you
that out to you guys. Yeah.
So,
in case you're interested in sending a donation to Jane Ader.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And any community organization or
yeah.
business.
And any amount, too. You know,
yes,
it's like.
There's no amount too small.
That's
or
right.
too large.
That's right.
So that's the heavy hit right now with the campaign. Mm-hmm. We're starting to meet twice a month. Now to gear up for things to kick off in the school year. I think things are pretty well lined. We've kind of landed on a logo and slogan. We provided some information for them to make a, kind of a fact sheet that we've put together. So we're starting to get that kicked off and rolling. We don't want to be too early, but we have
I don't see
registration, voter registration earmarked for open houses in the summer. And you can do that all on the computer now. So we'll have those at open houses and things like that for parents as well. Levy wise, I would say that's about it to date. On the football, we are also in fundraising mode. There is also no donation too large or too small for that project. Last week we received a phone call. We have a phone meeting set up with Sue Locke as a follow-up from Scott's,
right.
and that's set up for tomorrow, I think. We'll see how that goes. My understanding is, we really talked to them about partnering with us on the track. Mm-hmm. In making it a project with our sports and turf management pathway at the high school, so their staff could come work and mentor our students and kind of own that facility, co-create, manage, take care of all those mm-hmm. pieces. So my understanding is the conversation is kind of to ask some clarifying questions around that.
And are you aware that this is their 150th?
Yes.
Celebration this year
that.
Because there was a business impact breakfast that they held there a couple weeks ago or something, and the guy who's kind of the head of their chemistry or the head scientist was one of the presenters, and it would be amazing if our kids could have some internship opportunities.
She seemed
there.
Very interested when we met with
yeah.
them.
What's
sure.
her position?
Her position? She would probably be what I would call like the community liaison.
Yeah, yep. We worked with her at the foundation as well. They've got a fund at the foundation, and so Sue Locke and Lindsay Lasala are people that we've worked with.
And she's a direct report to the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of that middle person. Richwood Bank sent a letter confirming a $50,000 donation to be paid over the next 5 years to
Excellent.
The school district, so we received that.
Nice.
We have other appointments set up at the end of the month with our with Terry and Todd and I going out to meet with some companies. So
mm-hmm.
It's finally getting a little momentum.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll feel better about that.
Good. Are you thinking about doing any other open house kind of a thing? Since, the last one, it was nice, but it wasn't as well attended as I think we had hoped for because we had the date change and everything, and so.
There's nothing set in stone. We've talked
yeah.
about the idea of doing that, and as we've talked about a little bit, we're kind of going into fundraising in phases.
Okay,
kind
right.
Of towards the back end of the first phase, which was
gotcha.
Kind of the naming rights and the area businesses and things.
Right.
We're getting ready in the next couple of weeks, actually, to start the next phase, which would be kind of key community members and alumni. So that's going to be the next phase. So we talked about the possibility of doing a separate event for those people.
Okay.
On the project itself, we're wrapping up the plans for Bunzeld and kind of fine-tuning things. That will be the place that we start. So we'll go out to bid hopefully by the end of the month.
Okay.
The idea would be we could start Bunzeld really tomorrow if everything was set up. And then that would provide a track, right? So that at the end of November, when the high school season, football season is over, the track team in the spring then could use the Bunzeld facility. We wouldn't have to use another school. So that is, we're in full go. So,
good.
So I forgot from that, I don't think so.
Have the naming levels been set?
I would say I'm still in negotiations on a couple different of the, of those big dollar ones. I mean, I think that we're...
The framework's done.
The framework's done. It's just, we don't have all the slots filled in yet. Okay.
What's the highest level?
Well, the naming rights for the high school stadium is going to be the highest dollar amount. But at this moment right now, we don't have what that dollar amount is, because that's kind of a, when somebody's going to come in with an amount high enough to do that, that's negotiable and what that looks like. Like, for instance, the Richwood donation is listed under a platinum level donation, which is the highest level of corporate giving, as opposed to a naming rights on a certain thing. So that platinum level comes with certain benefits in recognition and certain advertising within the stadium. So we're still working on, there's plenty of other places that where a naming right could be, whether it be a concession stand or those kinds of things. So we're still, some of those things we're still negotiating, others we're still trying to, find a company to fill that spot.
We're not expecting anybody like at the $1 million level.
We would love that.
I would say there's
thinking 50.
We
100.
Have a potential for that.
Okay.
Okay.
Are there local restaurants that are interested in concession stands in terms of naming, or is that something that's been discussed?
Well, our initial idea was to see if Kroger would be interested in the naming rights for the concession stand, but we kind of had there was a mix-up in terms of who we were meeting with in our initial meeting, so we're working on getting a follow-up meeting set to discuss that with them.
All right. Sounds great.
Okay. All right.
Other than that, big news I sent you today, and I know some of you have watched, actually Heather and I presented to the State Board of Education yesterday, and so I sent you a link to the video. I'm sure in your free time or complete boredom, it's riveting must-see TV, but I think things went really, really well, and we received positive feedback about the work in the district and our focus on personalized learning, and it's been nice as that data has unfolded as we projected it would, but the buildings and teachers most aligned to the work are receiving the highest results on achievement scores and the highest hope data across the district. So we feel really, really good about where we're headed and where we're at.
I've watched about an hour, maybe a little less than an hour, and I thought that the sitting and listening to your presentation, as I mentioned to you earlier, just absolutely blew me away. How strategic, how thoughtful, how inclusive this whole project has been. And you know, with a focus on being on student mastery of information and finding their own way to be able to achieve that, I see that same thing on the educator side, that they have the latitude and the freedom to really kind of explore and find ways for them to be successful. I think that was, for me, a great part of the message that I got from the video. So,
super proud of the work that's gone into it, that's for sure. It's been a great team effort.
And
we haven't arrived yet. We're a work in progress.
So much has happened in such a short time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Ashley was putting the timeline up in like 2016, 2017. Wow, the amount of stuff that's happened and the buy-in throughout the district has just been amazing.
Is all that staff coming back over there? Ashley's back.
Mm-hmm. Try.
Yeah. Is Heather over there?
Yeah, Heather's going to move. We're bringing Kathy back, as we approved. I think that was last meeting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there, the Office of Personalized Learning will work out of the high school in between door H and I, and we have two rooms available. So one will be their office space, and the other will be professional development space.
Nice.
When we used this space, it was pretty tight, and then the parking lot was always packed, and if you were coming for school business, you couldn't get in. So that will become a professional development hub. Ashley and Kathy will work out of that space, but Ashley will stay over at Try. Okay.
Heather and Kathy will work out of that space.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry for that confusion. And then not everyone is back at Try.
Craig. Coach Craig left.
Chris Craig went to Olentangy, and we've hired his replacement will be Jenna Lubber, is switching from Early College. Lucy is coming from the high school to teach math, and then Jen Hinderer is still there, and they have it in the aid. And then Gail Fannin is their secretary.
Right.
So.
And Gail's the one, she just retired, but she used to be here at the board office, and then she'd been working over there, and I just know at the retirement party, she is so excited to be at Tri-Academy, you know.
The kids love her.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a perfect fit. So some of those kids would see her out in public and give her hugs, and, you know, it's a pretty good feeling. So.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Okay. Okay, well, I think you two are heading over to the levy committee meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, then we will move on, unless there's anything you can think of that you want to share with us before we start talking about our goals or anything.
Nope, I don't think so.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
You guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
I'll leave this with Matthew Rudd.
Okay.
Fill that one out at the end.
Yes. Okay. I will do that. Sure. Okay, so I just I printed off copies of our goals. I thought, now that we've finished with the school year and we're all on the board for the full year, there's no elections or anything like that. There's a copy for you, one for Amy, there's one for you, Nan. Thought it made sense for us to look at our goals now over the summer and just see if there's anything in here that jumps out at us or anything from this past year that we've gone through that maybe from any of the workshops that we've gone to, professional development or any building visits or anything else where you say, you know what, I feel like there are some things we could be doing as a board that would better support our district or better communicate with the people who elected us, etc. So anyways, I guess I'm kind of saying let's go through our board goals and just have an open mind about anything that you think would be good to discuss and or change.
Okay.
or eliminate RAD. So we could just start with goal 1A. These first ones are all about, the first goal is all about student performance and student learning. And most of these are continuous types of things. I think a lot of these are probably, we can look at those. The support and promote job-embedded, meaningful professional development. Oversee finances. To provide resources and keep informed of testing requirements, support assessments that'll provide timely and useful data. And it just has the comment on there that, we'll be looking at the monthly building notes to kind of keep track of the professional development that's going on.
Is there a... I don't know if it would be like an in-out report. So for the end of last school year and the start of this school year, how many teachers, staff members did we have leave the district and how many came
mm-hmm.
in?
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that might be kind of
interesting and
pertinent data just to understand a little bit about the district. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be some movement. Absolutely.
Right.
But I just wondered, is it a large number? Is it a small number? It's kind
mm-hmm.
of hard to tell because we break it up, over many months.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And I think if there's some general categories as to, whether it's family, personal, move to another.
Right. Like Coach Craig, his kids, they live in Olentangy,
right.
and, his kids are young.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've had administrators that
mm-hmm.
have taken jobs to facilitate their family situation.
Mm-hmm.
Just some general categories mm-hmm. of maybe it was a professional opportunity, professional growth. Somebody
mm-hmm.
out was offered an opportunity in administration,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And
a teacher in the
district.
And
a lot of people, especially if they go into administration, you kind of have to leave because the number of up spots, shrinks significantly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe just ask. Ask Diane to see if Lynette could provide some kind of a report.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it has to be a lot of detail, but it'd be interesting to see kind of...
Right. And I'm sure... I know they track that because
mm-hmm.
they always do exit interviews and they always ask
mm-hmm.
because there have been a couple times that I've seen somebody on the agenda
mm-hmm.
that's leaving and like, oh, what happened there? And,
mm-hmm.
And generally it's family situation that usually drives the decision. So.
Right. And you don't ever begrudge somebody trying to make their lives better.
Right.
Right. However that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, as we've talked about before and as I've said, for me,
mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that we have a competitive job opportunity for people, a positive
mm-hmm.
job experience for people,
mm-hmm.
and if there are issues, then I think we need to become aware of those,
mm-hmm.
and then we can actually begin
can
to
support
do some
things.
Things
yeah, support things that would help
to do that.
Right.
So
okay,
I know in a couple of other roles I've had. That's been a real challenge is hiring people, and it's we've got tremendous staff, and hopefully people are wanting to make this their destination. So
okay, I look at 1A as I think most of these objectives are, I think they were well thought out objectives for us, and I feel like they still pertain. I don't really see any changes needed here.
Mm-hmm. I know last year Brian offered a number of suggestions in terms of the wording that
yes.
I think really tightened up the mm-hmm. descriptions and made them more important. But again, you don't want to get too specific
right.
in your broad goals.
Right. And especially, I mean, you know, when it comes to student performance and student achievement, I mean, that's the job of our staff,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, so our job really is a supporting role.
Right.
Making sure that we've got the finances and that kind of stuff, so.
Yeah.
One of the change, I think these are all still applicable.
Mm-hmm.
And the wording, I think, is fine, but it seems to me the big change over the last year or two is the focus on personalized learning. Now,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to put any of that wording in, because
mm-hmm.
these are global goals and
right.
objectives.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it may be already captured by things like innovation,
mm-hmm.
which is in here, right?
This right, up there on the top.
This is like one of the big
yes.
examples of innovation going on right now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that we need to change the wording, but that to me seems like one of the biggest changes over the last year or two.
Mm-hmm.
When it first started, I was like, is this going to stick?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it clearly is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's starting to permeate through the district
right.
mm-hmm.
bit by bit.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I noticed is one of the things that we do almost every month that could be listed as an action step is these presentations that the buildings do at our meetings,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of a big part of our regular schedule, and they're almost always focused on student performance and instruction.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
So that could possibly go as one of our action steps to sort of continue facilitating, or do you think that's too specific to put in? I see it as one of the ways that we communicate with, not just with Diane, but with the building administrators and teachers themselves, is those presentations.
Right. I just need to think about that. And I probably need to look at some of these to see where something like that might fit in. And if that would make sense to include something.
Well, I guess my question is, who is guiding those?
Well, I guess...
we should be. Is the way
right,
I
mean, because it's our board meeting.
The media
right.
almost never reports on that. Have
mm-hmm.
you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
So they're not for the media.
Mm-hmm.
So right. they're for us, I think.
Right.
That would
for
be
us.
A positive thing. The media can't do that.
They. Mm-hmm. I often wonder why they don't report on some
because
of that.
Because it would be positive.
It would be very interesting for
yeah.
people in the community.
Right.
Anyway,
mm-hmm.
so it's for us to learn what's going on, I think.
Right.
But who's
yes.
actually guiding what
right.
they choose to present?
And I think it's been kind of a partnership between, you know, Diane wants, when we decided to visit the buildings, it was kind of an opportunity to showcase and highlight each building.
Uh-huh.
And so I think it's Diane's guidance to say, okay, your presentation this month, pick something out of these, our district goals, and do a presentation that highlights the work in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And because the personalized learning and all that kind of stuff has been the real focus in student achievement, that's generally,
right.
sometimes it's been partnerships, you know,
so you're saying it's actually Diane who's saying to them, because sometimes it does feel a little bit like they're presenting to her, like, these are the initiatives you asked
mm-hmm.
us to take up this year, and here's
mm-hmm.
how it's going.
Mm-hmm.
Almost
mm-hmm.
more to her than to us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm not saying that in a negative
yeah.
way, but
no.
but it really should be
to us. Right.
What do we need? What do we want to learn about the buildings through the course of a year?
Right. Because we're not there. We can't be there all the time. So
well,
tell us what you're doing.
And one of the things that I've noticed is as we go, and you're right, you know, they've been focused on how personalized learning has been developed in their each individual buildings. And the thing that's kind of struck me is that every single presentation is different.
Mm-hmm.
And every single presentation seems to highlight a different aspect of personalized learning. or a different application,
mm-hmm.
or a principle being applied in a different way, mm-hmm. in which, you know, that we've seen in other buildings,
mm-hmm.
Like voice and choice,
mm-hmm.
Where the kids, mm-hmm. you know, we've had several different examples of how the kids have taken over ownership of their classroom rules or some sort of procedure, or the teacher says, you know, here's a project, how are we going to accomplish this? And the kids say, well, let's do this, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think for me, that aspect has been positive. I'm conscious that, you know, while kids don't learn the same way, teachers don't teach in the same way.
Right.
So while there's a goal to focus on the learning for the kids, I think it's also important that what we're doing allows flexibility. So lots of different personalities, lots of different teaching styles can buy into and become effective at
mm-hmm.
personalized learning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether one of us ought to say, well, we want a presentation on this. Do we want to become that directive, or do we want, you know, tell us what you think is the most important thing going on in your business, or in your building, the biggest change?
But if I think if there's questions that we have, even related to, you know, what we saw last year, I think we should be open to, you know, hey, I hear a lot about this in the community.
Mm-hmm.
I'd really like to see part of your presentation, at least,
mm-hmm.
based on, you know, this positive reinforcement or this
mm-hmm.
Kernels.
Right, the
Kernels
yeah.
program or the PACS program.
Or, yeah.
or, you know, I'm hearing a lot of talk in the community about this,
mm-hmm.
you know, can you include this on your presentation?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or
yeah.
it could be something that comes up in the legislature. Like, let's suppose, I don't know, there's some debate about changing the testing requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't one of the buildings say, this is how these tests are affecting us right now?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That right. would be useful mm-hmm. for us. It doesn't always have to be, my impression is, this is what Diane told us to work on this year.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's going to present on that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're consciously thinking mm-hmm. that way or not, it seems to be
mm-hmm.
coming out like that. And
mm-hmm.
there may be other things about what's going on in the building that could be really informative for us.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things that are maybe not even new that they've done for 10 years that could be really useful for us to know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Or some, like you said, some specific thing could come up. And so I think it could be one of our action steps to take some kind of exercise, some sort of guidance about, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to cut out their creativity in putting the presentation together or their
One of the issues is they only get kind of really one shot to present to the board.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm. I think it's like
they want to squeeze a lot into a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other side. They're rather long. We've talked about that before. I think most of them are too long. But anyway, that's another place where we could exercise some guidance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I guess I think when we go to some of these OSBA things, our meetings are pretty short compared to many other people.
That's right.
Mm.
Yes, there are a lot of them that will say, we don't get out of here until 11 o'clock at night.
What?
I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You know,
I feel
like our presentations are generally
That's
pretty great. Reasonable. And if they go 15 or 20 minutes instead of 10 or 15,
I think 15
you
or
know,
20 is okay, but some of them are... Sometimes
yeah.
it'll be like 30 and then another 20 and then, you know.
Well, if we have multiple,
right.
you know. And that is, so yeah. sometimes the problem is just that there are, you know, if you do want to like, I've talked to Diane sometimes, well, maybe let's have a presentation from transportation and kind of hear what's going on there, or a presentation from some other area that we generally don't hear from, you know?
Yeah, that would be
interesting. But then the reality is that means you're going to have a couple of presentations in the meeting, you know? And so that kind of goes back to, do we want to stick to having one meeting a month? And do you want to do all of our business and presentations in one meeting, or do you want to pick... Do you want to start moving towards having maybe 3 or 4 months where we do a business meeting and a presentation meeting?
We kind of
did that in April and May,
right,
where we had the recognition mm-hmm. for one meeting and the business meeting for the other. And I thought that was a good thing to do.
Yeah, that.
And maybe in April and May.
That would have been way too difficult, I think, to
do
all together.
What are they doing? What are these other school boards doing that they go till 11? What are they?
Yeah, like, exactly.
I don't know. I don't know if they're micromanaging or who knows.
I think there's a lot of micromanaging going on.
Yeah, in conversations that I've had with some board members about their meetings, that's it. They have board members, and we I think as a board do a nice job of following chain of command. Our conversations are with Diane and Todd,
mm-hmm.
and even the discussion we're having now about the presentations,
mm-hmm.
it's Diane, I think it needs to be Diane, we would like to see.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know exactly what's been going on in terms of how the topics are selected or how mm-hmm. the presentations mm-hmm. are selected, but we would like for you to pass on that this is something we would mm-hmm. would enjoy to see, but I think that's not followed very well in other school districts. I think a lot of the time they get a board member that has an agenda, and it may be a personal mm-hmm. something that they saw, so they bring that into the meeting, rather than allowing the superintendent to work with the administrators to try to resolve that. Because mm-hmm. Every month there are things that go on that we become aware of that get resolved by our administrative staff and don't take up board time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's
right.
A positive.
I guess I'm just thinking that I'm not sure that I feel good about putting something in the work plan. I feel like a conversation amongst us, and if somebody wants to talk about something, then let's take it to the agenda meeting and have that discussion with Diane. And because I know, like we had talked about that, the ongoing conversation about valedictorian,
mm-hmm.
you know, which I know, Dick printed off an article about that, and I know that with Kenny Chapin coming in and with things continuously changing, they're going to have a conversation again about what direction do we want to go with that. You know, I've talked to Diane about, well, can we have a little bit of a discussion? Or, you know, we'd like to have a discussion at our meeting about that. And if we wanted to ask Kenny and Tom to come and do a presentation, then I don't think Diane would have any problem with us saying, you know, let's pick out a meeting where that would fit in a little bit and give them a chance to collect some information and come and present to us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's... What? I mean, I don't know. I guess I can go back and forth, but.
Well, I don't think there's a huge difference between putting it in
uh-huh.
and just, like you said, having conversations about it as we go through the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
right.
really a big
right.
difference because
maybe just
nobody's pulling this out every week.
Yes, are we following? Yes,
every month
I know.
Before the meetings, check them off. But
if you can come up with some kind of wording, then it.
And the next time, are we having presentations in the summer or not?
Yes. Let's see. Next week, it'll be at the high school. So we'll have a presentation from the high school.
Okay.
And then in July, July, we do our end of year reviews with Diana Todd. And I don't know if we'll have a presentation then or not.
Was it going to be at Northwood? Seems like, no,
I think that one's here.
Yeah, that's July. I think July and August are usually here. But those could be some times where, that might be a good time for transportation to come and talk about some of the things that they've been doing.
Maybe not August.
July. Yeah. Ooh, I know, yeah. Because that meeting is like the first week of school.
Yeah.
Hey, Tina. Yeah.
Right. Did we pick up every kid?
I know.
Did we not lose anybody today? Yeah. Those are the goals.
Yeah. Okay. So I've got a note here to consider including some type of a comment about building presentations and our role in requesting, guiding, whatever. Okay.
Yeah, I could see that coming up any time during the year. Like, it could be mm-hmm. something that, like NAM notices or Amy, that could make a really good topic for a principal mm-hmm. or somebody mm-hmm. to address for our benefit as we're trying to be, to
kind
do
of,
these things.
Yes.
And keep informed. And we've got the whole community that feels like they can come to us and bring stuff up.
I'm just sitting here kind of thinking out loud, but with blended learning and technology, I think there would be a lot of opportunities for just little videos to be done as well.
Mm.
That could say, hey, make a 5-minute video on this or that, and have that available to show at a board meeting I don't know.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, some of the videos we've seen as part of the presentations have been very useful.
Mm-hmm.
Even like a few minutes of seeing what is it like in the classroom these days.
Mm-hmm.
On the presentation at the Ohio School Board Association, there were a lot of questions, but there was a lot of interest in what does it look like? What does personalized learning look like specifically?
Mm-hmm.
And actually one of the visitors kind of said, it's like nothing you've ever seen. It is not traditional classroom at all.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be collaboration tables, there'll be a rocking chair, and you'd think that it would be a very chaotic looking classroom,
mm-hmm.
but it's not. The students have found where they're comfortable to work, and
mm-hmm.
whether it's working alone, sitting on one of those bouncy balls,
mm-hmm.
or whether it's working with a partner, sitting at a table, or laying on the floor and
mm-hmm.
working on a computer, they're finding how they're comfortable to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
She also mentions at that point that the students are choosing what goals and objectives they are going to work on. Not only are they determining,
How
physically or mentally mm-hmm. they're going to approach something, but they're also deciding, I want to work on math now, or I want to work on my English at this point, and in English, this is the next thing that I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and the teacher is there to kind of help monitor and make sure they stay on track and all that kind of stuff. So, but. Mm-hmm.
That video is, I haven't gotten through all of it, but it's just, as I reflect back on the meetings and things that I've seen and so
mm-hmm.
forth, it's like, wow.
Yeah. If we go on to 1B, okay, if we move on to 1B.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to
already
talk
past
about
that.
All
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A, B, and C.
Okay. And again, a lot of these student achievement ones, I feel like we've got a pretty good overview of what we can and should be doing. I guess just the reminders, there's so many resources out there and we do have limited time available.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe the only thing I was thinking is it seems like we do a lot of, when we have time, we'll go to OSBA events or read some articles, and I don't always feel like we do a great job of sharing things that we've learned, you know, because of limited time. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, you go to them and then all of a sudden life comes into play. Okay, I went to this and I learned some good things. So I guess I'm just kind of open to suggestions. If anybody ever had any ideas of, is there a process that where we could in some way try and capture some things, and it, you know, other one way is to come back from something and type something up and share it with the rest of us, but that's, you know, that doesn't always happen. And I don't know if there's any other better way, or just talking about it in meetings, or
One of the conferences that I went to was Jamie Mead, and
I went back
and I printed off, I just did this the other day, printed off.
Is that the Portrait of a Graduate?
Yeah, Portrait of a Graduate.
Yeah, right.
Because at our last meeting I mentioned one of the slides that she had concerning relevant information, how lives are being lived for longer periods of time now, and information used to be valid for generations, whereas the students that we have in class today, information may change three times during their lifetime, you know, what's considered valid. I always laugh about Pluto. And used to, you know, science guys, you can't even figure out whether Pluto's a planet or not. You know, when I was growing up, it was. Now it's not. You know, make up your mind.
They have a mind.
Yeah, you know, but, and I think, you know, that one really struck, that particular part of that presentation really struck a nerve with me, obviously. And, so I hope that when I go someplace and that happens, that maybe I don't formalize the presentation, but I do bring that that into our meetings, into our discussions, whether it's appreciated or not, I don't know. But anyway.
I think a worthy goal would be, and maybe it's in here, maybe it probably isn't in here actually, but as an action step. So this would be under B, I think,
right,
for board development. Instead of just attend.
Attend and
you
report?
You could say attend and report. And that report could be one example.
Right.
It could be mentioned in a meeting. It could be done in an email. Don't you think? It doesn't have to be a long typewritten detailed thing. It could be find some way to share at least the most significant thing you learned with the rest of
maybe
us.
Just at least one thing that you got out of it.
And that would be an action step. There may be part of the next, maybe another part of number one there.
Right. And that, because the other thing, on the other side, we don't want to be sending out so much information that people are saying, oh, no, not another email from Sue, or, you know, and because you know, the person reporting it has limited time, and the person reading it has limited time as well. So, but just kind of, I think that is I agree with that. I think it's kind of a worthy goal to just try and pick out at least one thing to share.
Yeah.
In whatever way, you know, whether it's at the board meeting or a quick little email, something like that. Okay.
I had one more thought before we leave.
Okay.
Student performance, student learning. Maybe this goes under C. I'm not sure. But
okay.
It seems like these report cards are kind of a big deal. And I don't know what our relationship is to them. I'm not sure it's on any of these. But it strikes me, like when you look at the finance goals, one of them is, let's see if I can find it. The board will... What was the one about the five-year forecast?
Oh, that's like 2A1, study the five-year forecast.
Okay, so look at this. It says, study the five-year forecast, including the assumptions made by the treasurer. So it's occurred to me a couple times this year when, and I'm only saying this because this report card is seems to be kind of a big deal. People mm-hmm. pay attention to it in the community. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that might be invalid. But anyway, it seems maybe we should be doing that with Diane, that not only are we taking in the report card, mm-hmm. but we're kind of supervising. In other words, we're not just accepting her assumptions without our own...
So like when it says so that we're studying that when you talk about the forecast studying, including the assumptions. So really, I mean, I think
the assumptions,
what I hear is like so we are understanding the report card.
We need to at least understand it, but maybe we need to be in dialogue with Diane about how to interpret it and what's really important about it and what are the assumptions that's mm-hmm. driving mm-hmm. the district's efforts that year, because mm-hmm. I'm not sure I'm comfortable just accepting all of her assumptions year after year. Does that make sense?
I'm not sure what you mean by accepting her assumptions. If she's reporting on what the grade card shows.
I'll give you an example. This is the most important one that we should be trying to improve this year.
Oh, okay. Well, and so I think last year when she brought that up, it was kind of interesting because there had been an email from Fordham Institute or something like that that validated every comment that she made. I think I brought it to the meeting just to say, you know, we hear you say this, but it was interesting. You got this email, and they said the two areas that you really should be looking at uh-huh. that tell the most about what your district is doing are these two areas.
Okay.
And that is what she said.
Right. I remember she also made mm-hmm. the comment that our state superintendent.
Yes.
Because the one place that we struggle probably more than any other is gap closure.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And she's saying focus on the achievement.
Right. The growth.
The growth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as I've explained to some of the legislators, that gap closure is a nice theoretical, to me, it's a theoretical measure because uh-huh. what you're mm-hmm. trying to do is take your lowest performing students and move them closer to your higher performing students.
Mm-hmm.
But if everybody, your better students and your lower performing students mm-hmm. are both growing, if they're both mm-hmm. achieving at higher levels, the gap may not close.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your best students are functioning at 5% higher,
yeah.
and your poorest, most struggling students are working at 7% better, you've only closed the gap by 2%.
Yeah.
But the reality is that every child in your district may have gotten at least a full year of education. So, mm-hmm.
yeah, that's a really good example. If something like mm-hmm. that is going on and... Mm-hmm. And the superintendent is just trying to get all the grades up.
Right.
And we're like, well, this one doesn't really work.
Yeah.
This one it's flawed in some way. Then mm-hmm. we should be developing our own sense of what the district goals should be as well as the superintendent. And I'm not saying there's an example yet where I've like mm-hmm. disagreed with Diane or mm-hmm. found her reasoning weird, but mm-hmm. just like with Todd. With Todd, he's always so solid, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't be mm-hmm. put in here checking his assumptions.
Right.
So that was my thought about the grade reports this year. It's like they're getting to be kind of a big deal. Maybe we need to have some
this past year, just because I'm the new kid on the block, I spent a lot of time studying the definitions
mm-hmm.
On the grade card and on the Ohio Department of Education website. You can mm-hmm. go in, and there's a ton of information there. But studying the definitions and then mm-hmm. Picking like other school districts mm-hmm. that you might deem comparable,
yeah.
right?
And kind of looking at where they are versus where you are, and what is totally incorporated into that. Because
I found that some of the grades actually incorporate what I would consider like three different concepts, mm-hmm. and they're taking the scores from those three different concepts and putting them into one. Well, mm-hmm. if a school district doesn't focus on one of those issues, mm-hmm. it can drastically affect that particular score.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't yeah. mean that they're not doing great on the other two,
right?
But you know, mm-hmm. we don't do this or.
I mean, I don't think it would. I think it would be a good idea to try and include somewhere in one some comment about you know, just including a comment about the report card, and that it's really our job to be familiar with the report card.
Yeah,
it's going to change, and it's changing all the time.
So yeah,
you know,
there's terms of art in it that are okay, but that whole gap closing thing, that's. I would bet that 98% of Marysville don't have the slightest idea what that even means.
Oh, yes, right.
But it's a grade on the card.
Right.
You know?
And they're going away from the A, B, C, D, F, right?
Yeah. There's
Legislation.
There's a legislation, and I was just looking to that, but I don't mm-hmm. have it with me tonight. There's a bill in the legislature that's getting a lot of positive push that would they've eliminated some things. They've eliminated the letter grades, and they've eliminated the excellent designation. And this one would eliminate letter grades for each individual subject area, and in essence would provide raw data. So it would say, your students, your graduation rate, the easiest one's graduation mm-hmm. rate. Your graduation rate for 4 years was this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had this many students that graduated and so forth. And statewide, the average was this.
Mm-hmm.
Comparative schools, mm-hmm. you know, a group of students that are considered similar,
mm-hmm.
this is what their composite score was.
Mm-hmm.
And then let people make up their own mind as to whether or not the result is a positive or a negative. Now,
well, that would help because some of it is just weird. Like,
yeah.
Like some of the categories coming out as Fs, remember? Or,
oh, yeah.
And you're like,
yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Right.
Well, this was.
But then once you, once you dig down and you understand how they're coming up with it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, I shared a drink board president of Columbus, and we got to talking about this. And he said, we've got kids that are doing great things, and we've got buildings that are really making great progress. Now, they're struggling. And so while they've gone from, say, 40% to 55%, mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm,
they've
right.
jumped up 15 points.
Yeah, you still
seeing that. They're still failing.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do they then communicate to their community, we've got the arrows pointed in the right direction. You know, we're moving in a positive direction. Don't believe that, you know, no children are learning anything in our school district. And the legislators, I think, are becoming, some of them, are becoming acutely aware that what they've done is they've kind of, in some cases, they've kind of picked things that may not have all that much meaning and may not have that degree of significance. We may be stuck with. To me, gap closure, again, is kind of a theoretical academic thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously you want your most struggling students to constantly do better and better.
Mm-hmm.
Measuring the difference between their accomplishments and the best students that you have, you know, may not really be important information,
mm-hmm.
We may be stuck with that because people now have it in their head that this is something that needs to be addressed.
Because if they were to do a new report card next year that had no grades on it, I think people would be fine with that.
Yeah.
And then they could look at gap closure and say, well, you're either going to put a lot of weight on this year or not. But
right.
The grade wouldn't drive them to do it.
Well,
mm-hmm. Out of some sense of shame, you know,
yeah.
the mm-hmm. community seeing, we got an F.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think this bill will pass. I submitted, I think it's two something or another. Anyway, I submitted some a paper
testimony
on that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it was on that topic or not. Maybe it was on 200 I submitted on. But there was something, I sent out some emails to people to encourage them. I sent kind of a summary of things to Dorothy here recently.
Okay, can we move on to financial stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And there, I mean, I like the general tone of what we should do here, and I guess just the highlight, a reminder this year with our levy coming up in November, things we can do is volunteer our time once it comes time to do lit drops and or door drops, things like that, and or I know Nan has talked about maybe trying to get on one of the building committees, and when we have our community coffees, having information handy, asking people if they're aware that we're going to have the levy on there, seeing what kind of questions they have, and making sure that we communicate any of the questions or any comments that we hear out in the community to Diane and Todd, or to Dick and myself, since we're on the levy committee, that we can share that with the committee.
You're saying at a coffee, we don't just have to see what people bring up. We could bring up the levy every month.
I mean, depending on what the conversation is, I don't think it would be wrong at all to just say, hey, by the way, I don't know if you're aware, but there's going to be two levies on the ballot in November, and so, you know, I don't know if you have any questions about it, if you're interested in learning a little bit about it now.
Okay.
But yeah, I think
if
that would
like
be good.
If you'd like to volunteer.
Yes,
like
because
to make a
yes, exactly, all those things, right? And explaining to them, the school can't spend any money on it. You know, it's got to come from private funding, businesses and community members, and it's not cheap.
Do you want an action step about the stadium? This year?
Well, I'd say if we're gonna add something, we should add something about both the stadium and the levy with both of them.
Right now we have Goal 2, Objective A, Action Step 2 is something about a levy.
Right.
It's kind of vague.
Yes.
You could make it more concrete about this year. Like contribute
to
actively or positively to the levy campaign this year.
Okay.
I mean, it's not just be aware, right?
Right.
There's things that we're actually trying to do, like,
yes,
like talk to people about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll add that, and then kind of the same thing, include something about the stadium project.
Yeah, but I think you know, right now it's a stadium project, but I wouldn't
intermix that with the levy.
Yeah. No, I mean,
people.
Yeah, two separate.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
Yeah, I'm saying
yeah.
two separate,
people,
yes.
Like,
right.
You know, like, oh, now they're asking money because they want to build this stadium.
Right,
right.
Yeah.
But I think and I don't know if it's appropriate here, and maybe it's not appropriate as a goal, but just the condition of the buildings and the facilities that we have,
mm-hmm.
you know, and assessment of, you know, the needs of the district, which the stadium project is fulfilling one of the needs. There was an article that I read. They're tearing the Akron Rubber Bowl down.
Rubber Bowl.
Yeah, it's a 35,000 seat stadium that was built by the WPA back in the 1930s, and it has a long and very rich history of high school football and
did
college
team,
football.
Did our team play there? I know when I went to Bowling Green, I'm pretty sure our Bowling Green high school team played in the Rubber Bowl.
Yeah, I mean they played state tournaments there for a lot of years, and big games were scheduled there, and so forth. And they're tearing it down because it's falling apart. And I'm thinking, you know, that's kind of where we are.
That's where we are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we are there.
Yeah,
but
40 years. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like I said, I don't know where facilities and buildings and just being aware of the conditions. And
yeah. I mean, it could potentially go more into safety even.
Well,
you know,
maybe,
support safety through the district. So
maybe
the stadium project should go in number three somewhere. Mm-hmm. Ensure adequate resources to maintain safe facilities.
Yeah.
So I think it should go in somewhere in three.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's the right spot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sorry, guys, I got to stand up a little bit.
I know. I don't. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm on 4 hours sleep because I worked last night until 1 a.m. and I was back in the office by 7. So okay. I'm like,
Well, now that we're into safety, Amy, is there? You know, I guess I'm thinking about like marijuana and stuff like that. Now that we've got
that
legalized,
that's coming through.
That
hasn't
something.
Been pushed back yet. We're still on the road for September on that.
So I don't know if there's anything. If we should be a little bit more specific.
Where are we at? Now?
We're on three. So safety.
Okay.
Goal
three.
Yeah, so there's three, A, B, and C. Like on B, it's educate themselves by attending programs covering safety issues, attend in-house training sessions. Objective B is 3B is stay current with safety trends.
Right.
So maybe something in...
I would say that we would stay abreast of the current marijuana legalization that's taken place in September. I think we have to stay on top of all the changes that's going to bring into the system. That's the main thing is what, you know, if medical marijuana is prescribed, how will we? I mean, so there's a lot that's going to come of this whole package.
I would think there's going to be policies that are going to be impacted and all sorts of things like that.
I know at least initially the Attorney General put out a thing that said for our school, and because we looked at it for West Central also, that it would have no impact on your local policies.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So a parent comes in and their child's having seizures.
Yeah.
And this doctor says that helps their seizures. So now we're going to be into a court battle. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all coming.
Yeah.
And I understand that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, you know, initially it was and I think we were looking at it at West Central from standpoint of employees.
Oh, yeah.
And
now the policies will stay the same for that, just like in our jobs and everything else. Those policies
stay.
Right.
Now, the question is, but I can see it still happening with employees.
Right, exactly.
And here's the thing, they don't have to even be real doctors. Mm-hmm. You can go online and get a license. You know, I mean, this stuff is just a joke. It's just absolutely a joke.
Can I get one of those?
Yeah, I think you can.
You already got a doctorate. What more do you want?
I want the kind that gets me access.
I mean, it's just really sad that
you know, what scares me is that I think we also have to put in here the different forms. The edibles and stuff is what we're going to need to be concerned of with our kids in school. These gummy bears and stuff like
yeah.
that.
And I think, but I
thought you said it was medical. Yeah. That's
oh no, it's all kinds. I mean, they've already got.
How's a gummy bear medical?
They already have some of those in the smoke shop uptown, made out of hemp. I had a guy test positive for weed.
Mm-hmm.
He was eating them.
Well, we've got some pretty general action yeah. steps, mm-hmm. and then we've got. Apart from the marijuana thing changing, all this school shooting
mm-hmm.
Attention
yeah.
might lead to some changes this year.
I think the Allison thing is the best that we have at this point with that. Now, would I like to see more resource officers that are
yeah.
armed? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's our biggest. I think we should have at least 2 resource officers per school.
Yeah.
Well, where would that come from? I mean, the funding and all that.
Part of it is with this levy. That's one of the things. Is we,
yeah.
if we make that switch from the bond to the permanent improvement, then
yeah.
Then some of the TIF money that's going to
yes.
permanent improvement will go to general operations, and with that they were planning to hire another
right.
school resource officer, and also working with the police department to
yeah.
figure
right.
out additional partnerships, things like that. So,
right.
yeah.
our police department and our sheriff's department, I think, are like top notch. They
yes.
will help us in any way that they can
right.
to
right.
bridge the
mm-hmm.
gaps
yeah.
there.
Senate Bill 318 passed in the Senate 33-0. It goes to the House for a concurrence vote. The bill prescribes qualifications and training requirements for school resource officers and appropriates grant money to public and private schools for school safety programs and training.
There you go.
But grant money. You know, I wish
yeah.
it wasn't grant money.
Right.
Well,
it was.
They had a one-time appropriation of $12 million instead of $10 million, and they rolled in House Bill 246, which also dealt with school resource officers. So they took another piece of legislation, kind
mm-hmm.
of put it all together,
mm-hmm.
provided some more money.
But if we can get that grant, at least we can run so many years on that.
Right.
Yeah,
you know,
depending on
I mean,
how long. Yeah.
Right. And you know, just like
Holly's
not with Slicic, I mean, mm-hmm. that whole drug coalition runs on a grant.
Mm-hmm.
So everything
mm-hmm.
is on a grant. Her
right.
salary, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and I think that because this is becoming such an issue,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be more and more money available for
it. I agree.
Yeah.
Well,
mm-hmm.
The one thing that bothers me is the $12 million is a one-time sum of money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily going to be
right.
a continuing grant
mm-hmm.
authorization.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that it passed 33-0
yeah,
means there is huge support
yes.
right. in the legislature, at least on the Senate
yeah.
side. Now, I would expect it on the other side. There was also an article that Worthington was talking about school resource officers. They have not had any school resource officers in their building, and
mm-hmm.
they were holding kind of a work session
mm-hmm.
About armed school resource officers in the building, which is what we have.
Right.
And the administration there seemed, from the article, to be very supportive of that. There were people in the community that didn't like the idea of a gun in the school building.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the comments was that the response time for you know, their ALICE training and,
right.
and so forth.
Right.
If somebody calls and we have
yeah.
an active shooter, how quickly can you get
yeah.
support there? It
right.
was under 60 seconds if there was a school resource
yeah.
officer
right.
in the building.
Versus like
yeah.
2 to 5 minutes.
How many do we have now?
Well, we've only got probably what? I was going to say
3.
We've only got 3.
I think we got 1 at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
1 at Bunsold.
We
had Haley College, I thought. No.
Well, there was one that was going to Creekview, but then
yes.
he had a medical problem. So I don't know. It was 3, could be 4.
Mm-hmm.
Who was paying them?
We're splitting
the
okay. splitting the cost
mm-hmm.
with the
yeah.
city.
So I guess for me,
Raymond and Broadway have a deputy sheriff assigned
in that area.
In that area,
you'll see him up there.
And he stops in at Raymond on I'm not going to say regular basis,
right?
But he makes regular appearances.
And if you go up there just driving up someday, you'll just see him sitting right in front of the school, let everybody know he's right there.
Mm-hmm. I think a reasonable action step is one that doesn't lock us into anything for any of these issues that are
right,
in flux.
Right.
But that we're attending to it.
Mm-hmm. Aware.
Aware. We're supportive of anything that increases the safety of the kids.
Right.
Right.
And the drug issue is still, honestly, much more to their safety than the shooting issue. But the shooting issue goes to their feeling of safety, though.
Right.
Have you talked to kids lately? They're afraid they're going to get shot at school.
Right.
That's a tragedy. I don't know how we can fix that, but in terms of...
Well, you know what the thing of it is? I don't think we're going to fix it, Brian. This is the world we live in today. And, you know, like, and I'll give you an example. When drugs started out, I made my kids very street smart when they were young because Mike and I have always worked in this kind of field, okay? I let my kids see in kindergarten rats being shot up with PCP laced with strychnine and the rats snap in half. And I know that sounds gory, but I let them see it because this is reality. This is reality, and you need to know that this happens all the time. And Mike and I educated our kids to be street smart from the word go because we didn't want them blindly walking into situations and not knowing how to handle them. And, I mean, it's so out of control now in not just the drugs but the shootings and stuff like that. And I think we have to educate our children more on how to be prepared because this is the world they live in.
Well, this,
you know,
this,
we can protect them, but we're not going to do any favors to protect them.
What's the program with the posters and the high school kids? What's
that
called?
Above the influence.
So that's really awesome. Great.
Oh,
example.
Wonderful. Yes.
Very positive approach.
Right.
And I think maybe... Right.
And our mentoring.
Something
our
about
mentoring
the school
awesome.
Shooting thing could also be developed. I have no idea what it would be that would have more of a positive feel instead of just... We're all afraid, you know, we're going to lock the schools down or whatever.
I think it's that focus on mental health and really being aware of your neighbors and being willing to share concerns with people.
That's why I say we need to educate our kids. If you see something that is off in somebody else, something that's really disturbing you, you need
say
to go
something.
An adult privately and talk. You know, and they're so afraid the snitch word, you know. I mean, you know, like I get this all day long. Why do I want to be a snitch? Okay, well, then let him die and look at yourself in the mirror tomorrow.
Right.
You know, I mean, so grow up. It's not being a snitch. It's helping.
Right.
You're helping someone. You're not ratting someone out. You're saving their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, we have to, I think we have to get that across, and that's how I have to deal with my people every day because, you know, we've got a girl that's a complete vegetable now. Okay, because somebody didn't want to tell.
What happened to her?
Overdose. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't get her to the hospital for like 12 hours. Mm-hmm. So, because they thought they were going to get somebody in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, educating them that this is not, that's not right. If you would have helped, the girl would be fine. You know, if you would have got her to their right
way. It's all interconnected. And these programs that we've seen presented to us about respect, you know, that all goes towards
helping each other. Right.
Helping each other out.
Right. Being kind.
Right at the elementary level,
yes.
right? Where they're starting.
Right.
And then you can maybe develop that education where we're not.
And I think we're getting the education into the younger things now by the mentoring and stuff like that. Because I've always said that's where we lack educating these children about drugs. They need to be educated in grade school.
Right.
By the time they get to middle school, it's too late.
And hearing it from high school students versus adults, I think is really impactful. So,
you know, I've told legislators that the personalized learning creates better relationships between the teacher and the students. So teachers are hopefully going to be able to pick up changes in behavior, changes in attitude a little sooner. And hopefully the student will feel more open to telling a teacher, you know, there's a problem in my house, there's a problem with my father or with my mother, or I saw my brother do something that he shouldn't be doing, and I've stressed, I just sent Dorothy something and said, we need to be proactive. So we need to put the resource officers in the building.
Yes.
We need to have more mental health issues from the state legislature. We need the law and the financial support for those things. Mm-hmm. You know, arming private citizens or teachers or fortifying the doors doesn't change the behavior. It addresses
the
consequence of somebody that is disturbed and somebody, you know, somebody's made a decision, I'm going to try to get a gun into the school. Mm-hmm. We need to try to keep them from developing that thought of bringing the gun to school.
And
you do that by, in my mind, you do that with relationships. And I think what we have going on, and we see it with kids working together in groups, you know, I think that helps.
It brings the loners into
You know, it incorporates more kids. People are going to feel more connected. They're going to have more friends and acquaintances.
And what we're doing, too, so many people look at us as a babysitting service. Some of these parents nowadays, I mean, the cycle just continues. Some of these younger kids, I have their parents. So I know what they live in. And, I mean, that cycle is just crazy. And I challenge the parents every day, break your cycle, break this cycle in your family. You know, for your children, do you want your children to go through what you're doing? I mean, I'm constantly preaching that all the time. I had a guy in Texas when we were down there. He's like, I don't know what's happening to the education system anymore. We were out to eat, all of us. And he goes, I don't know what... he said, they just don't do the job anymore. And I said, buddy, I said, let me tell you something. They are not your children's babysitter. It starts at home. And I said, maybe you need to address issues in your own family life. Oh, I did. I let him have it. I am like, are you nuts? You have no clue. You know, and he said, well, and this is when he came back. Well, the school should be doing it.
Oh,
where is your responsibility? I mean, well, you know, okay. So, I mean, it's just that mentality that these people have that they don't care.
It's kind of a true mentality. So that's the one thing where we kind of have to every year or maybe sometimes every day debate how much mental service health, how much wraparound services, how much of that, you know, we have, I would think, substantial wraparound services available in our schools. Is it enough?
Yeah.
I don't know. Based on...
Well, here's the thing. I think it's enough when they're in school and they have that camaraderie. When they go home, some of these kids, like we know, some of them don't even have food.
Right.
Okay. The parents are falling out in front of them from shooting heroin. You know, I mean, that happened to one of the families where they couldn't wake the dad up and had to call the squad because he was, you know, I mean, this is all reality.
My answer is it's not enough, and the more that we can get, the better. The fact that it's a school and that we're supposed to be teaching doesn't matter to me. Families need that support. The kids need it. And if they can only get it through the school, well, so be it. See what I'm saying?
I think we have to get our children's services more on board, too.
Well, they need more resources, too. Barbara works with the same kinds of situations that you do. Okay?
Yep.
So I see it indirectly. Families that are... Their circumstances are almost hard to believe. And then you think, how are these kids supposed to get an education?
Prosper and grow. Right. When they can't even sleep. I mean, I've been in homes where I'm looking. I went in a trailer, this is no kidding, a while back. As I'm finding drugs, as I'm finding spoons with white powder and needles and stuff. Now, we're gloved up, okay, because of this fentanyl, which will kill you. I mean, a speck of fentanyl now will kill you.
Like by skin?
Yeah, you'll absorb it through the skin, and you'll need Narcan. You're gone. So we have to wear nitrile gloves now. We can't just wear regular gloves. We have to wear masks. As we're doing this, I'm looking, and I there's two children running around. And I'm thinking, this is not right.
Yeah.
This is not right. So I called Children's Services. Then I went to the judges. And I said, listen, I know we all have our protocol, but and I know they have protocol, but protocol's got to change because we're in a whole different world now. This isn't marijuana anymore. This is marijuana laced with fentanyl. This is stuff that's going to kill these children with one sniff. So protocol has to change because we have to get updated in all of this, okay? And before they would come out and they would do an assessment. As the children are sitting there, they get all the information, they leave, they do an assessment, then decide if they're going to take them out. I said, that has to change. You need to take them out, do the assessment, and then see if they're going to be placed back in. Otherwise, we're going to have children dropping over. Because, we have adults dying in this county like crazy.
Oh, yeah. It's
so bad. These kids, all they have to do is take one whiff of it. And, you know, we had three officers at Tri-County have to be taken to the hospital by squad.
Is that recent?
Girl had a little bit of fentanyl on her shirt. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like this year?
Oh, yeah. Like a month ago. And so, I mean, when this stuff is in these homes and these children are in there, we're going to start seeing child-related deaths if the protocol doesn't get changed and get these kids out of these houses. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what we're dealing with, too. And these poor kids coming to school, they don't... You know, they don't have the proper clothes. They don't, I mean, it's just, they don't even have, this, the place I was in, I'll tell you, the kids' mattresses were filthy. They had no sheets on them, mm-hmm. no blankets, mm-hmm. no nothing. Now, these children are laying in that stuff and get up and expect them to go to school in the morning. Mm-hmm. When
and I think that this kind of goes back to what you're talking about with the personalized learning and just developing these relationships.
Yes.
And, you know, I think about our youth, the Drug-Free Youth Coalition, and the fact that I know you're on that, Jonathan's on that.
Right.
And so it's really, I mean, it's critical that we
yes.
have these partnerships and that people hear the whole picture and
right.
work together, work collaboratively, you know, to try and come right. up with some improvements. You
right.
know, we know there's not going to be a complete solution, but,
no.
but you know, just like everything, you always have to be looking for ways to improve,
right.
you know. So, I mean, I guess if we kind of go back to our goals in here, you know, being aware of them and mm-hmm. and as always, you know, supporting the partnerships.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's not, when you talk about educating a child, you do have to look at the whole picture.
Right.
You can't just
right.
focus on mm-hmm. classroom instruction, you
right.
know, because if the kids aren't in that position to absorb, to
yeah.
you know, focus,
well,
it's you're wasting your time.
Right.
Yeah,
so.
And there's and I think we've got breakfast being served
mm-hmm.
In schools, so that you know kids that may not have food in their home. Are
they
getting
yes.
you know are getting breakfast
right.
they're getting lunch
buddies with the police and the fire station.
See,
right.
that's
so
what I
create,
like about the
yes.
resource
yeah.
officers too, just like at
yes.
Mill Valley, you know how they said they can't wait for them to get there.
Yes.
Because so many of these kids are afraid of law enforcement because the parents
mm-hmm.
have cameras up
mm-hmm.
they're
mm-hmm.
watching for law enforcement because they're doing things the kids know it now, then they get scared of the officers.
Sure.
You know, because they
so
develop
yeah, so
this
now
they're fear
seeing
that they're bad.
They're seeing that positive, the positive
right.
side.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I see it's a big problem. It's not going to change overnight.
No.
But I think that we've got a lot of things in the district that are not specifically labeled as a school safety, but it certainly impact school safety as
mm-hmm.
as we go forward. And... So I think, you know, being aware of changes in state law and how that impacts on our policies, I
mm-hmm.
think would be something very good for us to do. And again, I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah, I don't think, I think these are still pretty good,
mm-hmm.
pretty well written.
Yeah.
I,
mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things I want to reiterate as a group that doesn't need to go on this sheet is we have to attend to the basic forms of how we relate, because if a crisis comes up, we have to be healthy and work together. And I think we've done that through, there's been a couple of crises, this thing with the newspaper,
mm-hmm.
This thing with the, what was it, the April 20th event, you
mm-hmm.
know, where the community mm-hmm. gets all worked up. And if we're solid mm-hmm. and we know our protocols, right?
Right.
We know
mm-hmm.
our chains right. of command. We know how we communicate. Then,
well,
then
so
we can handle. Because I think it's just been a miracle. We haven't had more crises come up. Mm-hmm. But
I think our district's pretty lucky.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I mean, really, I do.
And,
yeah.
and
well,
just remember so that this year or next year or whenever right. the next big mm-hmm. thing explodes, that mm-hmm. we have yeah. a pretty healthy relationship with each other, mm-hmm. with the superintendent, with the community.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to overreact to whatever
right.
weirdness comes up this year with the right. drug issues or the shooting issues or
right.
whatever.
Mm-hmm. We just have to be on it and just, we just have to be diligent. That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think that we're getting lower in the grades where these kids, that was my main thing, is try to get the education to drop mm-hmm. on it instead of trying to just educate them in high school because we've already lost them by then.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for a lot of things for the kids that are currently in the lower grades.
Right.
As they move through, I think they have adopted and accepted a lot of the principles of the personalized learning, which mm-hmm. to me permeates their whole life and mm-hmm. circumstances around them, empowering them to address things, making them more confident, self-confident. When they get to be Bunsold, when they get or go through even Creekview and Bunsold, mm-hmm. I think it's just going to be a different world in those buildings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
that's good.
So.
Yep. Okay. So, you know, anybody, if you have some ideas or, you know, shoot me an email if you come up with some kind mm-hmm. of wording, but, you know, we'll kind of.
I think that's our main thing on the safety thing is make sure that Alice, you know, that mm-hmm. the training stays up to date mm-hmm. and just mm-hmm. monitor the new laws
yeah.
on the drugs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was going to say, under Goal 3, Objective A, Number 3,
mm-hmm. yeah.
You know, maybe, you know, we're talking about monitoring the safety issues throughout the district mm-hmm. through communications, maintain awareness of changes in state law.
And you know what, we might want to monitor safety
issues. And the
issues.
Impact on our board policies.
Also with the superintendent and law enforcement. I would have law enforcement on this.
Okay. I mean, but that it.
Because they had, we had to bring
right,
them in.
But I think like through, like,
Alice
like make sure it's, I guess we would get that information of the partnerships and stuff.
From Diane, okay.
You know, I mean.
But I do like what he said.
Yeah, I mean, you need to clear state law and its impact
yeah.
on
policies within
policies.
The schools.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's going to be huge for us
yeah.
this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And
yes,
our state senator is in the middle of it.
You know, it's not just monitoring the legislator, right? It's also informing them, like you do,
yeah.
regularly. There's things that we know, because we're closer to the schools, that they need to know, and they're working some of this stuff out. It's a two-way
yeah.
communication.
And I know the last conversation I had with Dave, I've walked out of there feeling like I'd made a step in the right direction in that he was asking me questions about laws, and when on one specific law, he said, I told him what I thought was the right position for our district, and he said, if that's the way you feel, that's the way I'm voting. And so
something about here continuing the communications with legislators, or, you know,
well,
I don't,
in terms of safety, what I said was, you know, I think we need to be aware of legislative actions
mm-hmm.
and discussions, mm-hmm. You know, on things that affect our impact,
mm-hmm.
Safety, and how those legislative actions may impact our board policies.
I guess I was just kind of responding to Brian saying not only monitor or maintaining awareness, but also follow through with appropriate advocacy. Communication or advocacy. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, and that's a good action step that we would be doing pretty regularly.
Well, I was going to say, I kind of stepping back and looking at the board, I think all of us have, and you have been remarkable in this respect, but I think all of us have stepped up our game in terms of our own education and our own awareness and our own participation in being a board member. We've all grown and are doing a better, more representative job. And we come from very different perspectives, and we share those. And the thing that's affirming to me is the fact that the goal that I think everybody shares is to make things better, to keep moving forward. Don't get hung up on the problems and issues. And I think we as a board have done that, and I think we as a board have kept a broad view perspective. Somebody talked about the 30,000 foot. And, you know.
While still listening, you know, like making sure that we are listening.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we don't ever want to ignore any comments. You know, we may not agree with all of them, but it's important to listen. So.
Okay. I spent a lot of time in the aisles of Kroger.
Okay. In our communications, developing community partnerships, education, I will note on 4C number 4, that had a targeted completion date of September of 2017, and that was kind of talking about that, it kind of morphed into that quality profile that went out that Diane was working on for a while at the beginning of the year, where it highlighted our goals, the district strategic plan, where we started from and where we are now. So I think we could take that off or...
and I think we've got the Monarch Monthly has come about, and I feel much better about our ability to communicate. Now we're still, and they're making efforts, I know, to broaden the distribution of that information. But I think that has developed, and I feel we do a better job of communicating what's going on in our school district to the people in the community now. We still miss people. And there's still people that may receive that that don't actually read it.
I was going to say, you got people that... like the ones that probably complain the most are the ones that read the less. Read it the less.
But are you okay? You okay
by taking that off?
Take this one off.
I would do that.
Okay.
That's all completed. So.
Okay. 2018, 2019. Oh, I can't believe it. 2018, 19. Isn't that crazy? Okay, you know, the only other thing I want to talk about is I know Nan and I were talking, I think it was you and me, Nan, we're talking about the building liaison program. And just kind of the reality of, you know, we've been doing this for a few years, and I know Dick has free time and does a nice job of visiting Raymond on a regular basis, and I can't remember what other building.
Well, that's the only building that
that's
I
the
have.
Building, and then you have transportation.
I don't have transportation. I got maintenance.
Okay.
And I don't do a very good job of getting to maintenance because they're hard to get
Yes. And so I guess I just was thinking, I know, like, I was out in the high school, you know, I try, like, at the beginning of the year and the end of the year, I try and just make a quick stop in every building, just to say hello. And when I was out at the high school at the end of the year, I happened to be in the library, and one of the teachers, another teacher, walked up to me and said, "So, somebody in trouble here?" You know, and he was joking around. But he made a comment about not really seeing any board members. And I said, "Well, I've been here, but the reality is you've got a great big building." And I made the comparison. I said, when I go into an elementary school building, if I see one teacher, the whole building knows I was there.
Yeah.
So if I go into the high school and I see 20 teachers, however many other teachers are there, are going to say, they won't know that I was there, you know? So I had an idea of maybe this year, trying to do, like, take one or maybe take 2 days and do a group visit to every building with all of us, knowing that we can't have discussions, or we have to be careful, because as we're all together, you know, we are a board at that point. But we did that. Remember when we first came on, Amy? We did some group visits.
Yeah, we did.
I remember with Jeff. We did some group visits, and really, it's kind of, this, I think, would kind of talk to your point of, you know, we go to let the building know we're going to come in at 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning, and we just want you to kind of walk us through the building, maybe give us some highlights of what your goals are this year. Thank you so much. Had a nice visit. And it gives them a chance to see all of us as a board, and a chance to get in, make sure that we get in every building in a short amount of time. And do it when there's not testing.
Are you thinking all the buildings in one day?
No, I don't think we can do it in one day. I think we'd have to take at least 2 days to do it, because reality is you're going to spend 45 minutes to an hour in the building, I would guess, by the time they walk you through, depending on, like, you know, I know when you go to Creekview, Tim does a great job. He likes you to see every classroom. And, you know, so, and I know you work, Amy, so that would be an issue.
Right.
But
I can schedule time off if I know ahead of time.
Right.
But then if something would go down.
Yes.
Then we
would just have to say that right at the beginning.
Right.
You know, and the same thing, we could be in a building visiting, and something could happen in the building, and,
right.
and they'd have to say, sorry, guys, you know, we're going to have to call this quits. But I just kind of want to run that past you, and I know, you know, I've talked to Diane before, and in other districts where she's been, I mean, she says we are much more engaged than most boards as far as how much time we spend in the buildings, and I think it's wonderful. I know how much the teachers and administrators appreciate us coming in, you know, but we also know how busy they are,
right.
and it is distracting.
I think it is,
you know.
Too. See, I've always thought that, but I just kind of
it depends. I mean, you can, you know, you develop your own
to
relationships
to go in for a little bit, you know,
right.
or something.
Right.
But you know,
and
I just
I go in and read.
The kids
so, like,
love that.
A couple teachers
so
that say,
they
know me, and it's a good situation, but. I can't, you know, my work schedule is a little bit busy.
Well,
and
I think you got some of them that feel a little like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, like,
well,
ooh.
That's what I was going to say.
Right.
Rather
than
maybe gang up and, you know, the gang of five all show up and, you know, poke around, if we could pick some days and then kind of split up two and three and go visit, you know, buildings.
And that's not go to all, you mean like
maybe not everybody goes to all
same
every
building. Right.
Right.
Like,
but so we
like
kind of divide the district,
yeah.
divide
buildings.
The district in half, and you know, it doesn't even have to be the same two people, but maybe Amy and I get partnered up with you one day, and Brian and Nan go, and they go to Creekview and Northwood, and Mill Valley, okay, and we go to Navin,
high
Edgewood,
school.
And,
Edgewood. Yeah.
and the high school.
And you're saying do that once a year, like at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, I think because it just things just seem to get busier and busier as the year goes on.
Yeah.
You know, you've got testing in there, and then you've got the winter months where you never know.
I like that idea better because
so
I think, like I said, I think some of them feel like they're being watched. Right. Or feel like, you know what I mean?
I'll go to Raymond and just say, hey, I'm just welcoming you back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, want to introduce yourself. Yes. If you're a new teacher, welcome to the district.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I think that the, like, one obvious day would be first day of school. Mm-hmm. And it's a different day at different buildings, correct?
Yeah. But that's a pretty crazy day. First day, yeah.
Crazy,
yeah.
In terms of, when I've done the building visits, I'm really focused on I'm trying to learn. And, mm-hmm. and what I forget is there's this other side of it, which is showing them that we're engaged, mm-hmm. that we're real people, mm-hmm. that we're interested in them. And mm-hmm. and you're right, putting five of us together and putting us a school, that would be memorable. But it may be a bit much. Mm-hmm. But the first day of school, even though it's crazy, one or two of us at each building that day, mm-hmm. even if it's just for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, and then maybe we could pick another day that makes sense, like the last day before break or something.
I'm going to suggest that you talk to Diane and ask her to talk to the building administrators.
Right, and see what they would feel most comfortable with.
You know, if we were to pick a couple of days early in the year. Now, I'm going to be out of the country first part of September, but that doesn't mean it can't go on without me. You know, talk with them and say, okay, when would be?
Well, school starts the middle of August,
yes.
So we could possibly, you know, maybe I think because school starts on different days, you're not going to have all the kids there, and you know, so they're doing assessments too. That's one of the reasons they stagger it is because they are, especially in the elementaries, they're assessing the kids to figure out, you know, where they are and stuff. So I'll check with Diane and see if it's like a week after school starts.
I agree with you. I think it needs to happen early.
Yes.
I don't think that. Mm-hmm. Look, I think it's good to be sensitive about being disruptive, but I don't think just going in is disruptive. I think, I'm a teacher too. You guys know that, right?
I teach
privately, and the parents can come in any time they want.
Mm-hmm.
It's just. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we, in a certain sense, we should be able to go into almost anything that's happening in the school and not disrupt, just observe.
Right, I agree with that, but I also look at the end of kind of a little bit of micromanaging there,
mm-hmm.
And that's not our job.
No,
so I think that we walk a very, very fine line when we do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've always, you know, mm-hmm. I've always told you that from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I just think mm-hmm. that we it's a very fine line that we walk when we do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if we share things, then, you know, that's not our place. That's not our job.
Right.
You know, to go in. That's why I like your idea. Go in the beginning, mm-hmm. tell them we're all here. If you need anything, let us know.
It's more like an introduction.
Yeah,
An
and if you need anything, you know where to find us, and we'll be happy to help you out.
Talk to your building principal. Or something, right?
I mean, you know what I'm saying.
We're here.
We're there. Right, exactly.
Appreciate what you're doing.
Exactly. So, you know, and I think that gets us out of the micro area a little bit.
And then, you know, if like for you who have developed a great relationship at Raymond, you know, there's nothing wrong with you continuing to do what you do there.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
and especially if
but
it's
there's no issue with us volunteering in any schools.
No. Mm-hmm. No. Okay. If you're volunteering, and that teacher loves for you to come and read because it gives them a break time too.
Yeah.
But
you know,
I like this idea from the standpoint that it'll help me get into some other buildings that
may not do that. And I also think it allows the building principals, you know, with some advance notice and everything, to just say, hey, if there's something that they want to let us know, like, hey, we're really proud, we're going to try. Right. I just think about when I went into Creekview at the end of the year, for the first time ever, they were doing... every single student was doing a board about themselves to celebrate them, you know, and kind of share who they are. And they were really excited about that. And they had some good stories to tell. And, you know, and the other thing is, and kind of gives them an opportunity to say, hey, you guys may want to stop in on this day because we're going to have an assembly or, you know, so they can share some special days with us. And I don't know. Okay. I will talk with Diane and just ask her to ask the principals.
I do agree with Brian that I think we should be feel very comfortable walking in and not being a disruptive
Right. And just a reminder to should let Diane know. And I know you always do that. You know, if you're going to stop in, just give her a little heads up. By the way, I'm going to be in this building, and that way everybody's
when
aware.
When I contact somebody, I always just copy her on the notes.
Okay.
Well, when you were teaching, like, tell me if I'm wrong about this, like the principal or the superintendent could actually walk into your classroom every time, right?
Yeah.
It's just part of the...
Right. Now, the beginning of the year, particularly in the younger grades, I know the teachers are focused on trying to establish some sort of a routine, you know, a classroom structure of how the kids move and so forth. And it can, you know, they can be trying to reinforce certain behaviors in their classroom, certain ways of conducting themselves, you know. And so disruptions can throw some of that process off, you know, in that somebody comes in, so all the kids start talking, and
and they're watching you instead of the teacher.
Yeah.
You know, that
it gives them an opportunity.
It's a fun time.
Well, I've seen both. I've walked into classrooms where it was almost like I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then there's others where it was clearly like, somehow changing their routine.
Yeah, and that's going to happen. That's going to happen. I know for me, it was the first couple of days were like handing out books and, you know, making sure that there were some assignments and here's your, we're going to go over the syllabus today and, you know, we're going to do those kinds of things. And so if somebody comes in and says hi, it's no big deal. And if the principal walked in, as he would do, and he would usually walk in, go over and sit down at my desk, and I'd start asking him questions. You know, what do you think about this? You know, just try to get him involved in what we were doing in class and kind of elicit his input with two goals. One, to get him more involved and to share with the kids in the class, and the other two was to alert him that he was not just going to walk into my classroom
you know, without getting put on the spot.
There's going to be a price to pay if you come in. You come into my classroom, you're going to participate. So,
well, kids, I have that situation I dealt with last night.
Okay. Well,
go take care.
I think if we are ready,
back to work.
Any more conversation, or
I think
we're ready to adjourn?
I'll move to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Second, Mrs. Powers. Roll call, Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Ms. Savage.
Yes.
I should have started with Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Ms. Fine. Yes. Our meeting is adjourned at 7 p.m.